Something that's been coming up for me, I've been that is suddenly starting to make sense in swimming. Something's come up for me in running that is making sense for me in swimming now, that's informing me about a situation I've observed with swimmers. In running, your hip mobility and your glute strength, the strength of the muscles in the back of your buttocks and your leg, are extremely important to and extremely relevant in how well you can run, not only in your form, but how what your speed potential is, and your speed potential with regard to maintaining good form. So if you don't have good hip mobility, and or you don't have good strength in your buttocks, in your back of your legs, what we call the rear train, it is going to distort your running form, and it's going to limit your effective strength, and it's going to increase your risk of injury, especially as you increase your training load. So it's well understood, I believe, in running that we have to have your hip needs to flex, your leg needs to be able to extend behind your hip without causing your pelvis to tilt, right? So you've got two hinges. You've got a hinge at the hip socket, and then you've got a hip, which is below the pelvis, we might say, on the lower end of the pelvis. And then you've got the vertebrae just above the pelvis in your lumbar, in your lower back, which creates a second hinge, potential hinge point. And if you are not mobile enough, you're not free enough, not loose enough in the tissues in the hip joint to allow the leg to angle behind your pelvis, then your pelvis is going to tilt forward and you're going to bend in your lower back to make room for that leg movement. Now, this is going to happen automatically. One or the other is going to happen automatically while you're running, because your leg is attached to the ground and your torso mass has momentum in the forward direction. So it's going to pull your leg back, and your lower body is going to bend either at the hip joint and or at the lower back in response to your body flowing forward with that momentum, because you're interacting with gravity and the ground, and the ground is solid and gravity is very strong against your body. Okay, so in running, the distortion is going to be obvious to somebody who takes a video and slows down the video and looks at the shape, the angles of your body parts. But it occurred to me, in swimming, we have a need to be mobile and strong just as much. And now it's making sense to me what's going on with swimmers who can't keep their legs near the surface. So we talk about engaging the core of the body, but the core of the body in swimming is not merely some little muscles in your six-pack. They're deep muscles all the way around your waist, inside the muscle, inside the cavity, the abdominal cavity. They're spine stabilizers on the outside and the inside of the spine, kind of sandwiching the spine. And they're the muscles in the glutes and down into the legs, not only the psoas on the inside, but the big muscles on the back end of your body. And we need all of these, all these systems working together in order to keep proper alignment. The problem, though, for us in swimming position, in the horizontal swimming position, is we are weightless. So there is nothing to push off of except against our own body. In running, you have gravity pushing you down against the ground, and you have the solid ground, and our brain is developed around that position. And so we can stand up, be in a standing position, and we'll have our legs straight underneath our body. And even if we have a weak glutes and poor core control, we can, with some instruction from somebody, stand there and tilt our pelvis up to a flat position and feel a level pelvis. We might have to do it consciously. We might not be able to hold it very long, but we can consciously do that because the ground and the gravity are creating resistance that's much easier for us. We have something external to us to push against and to trigger our nervous system to feel it and notice what we're doing. But when we're under the water, we don't have a solid object to push against, and we don't have gravity pushing against our body with very much strength, and not in the direction we're normally used to. So it makes it really hard for most people to detect and then to control what their pelvis is doing. And then if you have somebody that has weak glutes and restricted mobility in the hip, then the natural position for the legs, the only comfortable position to hold the legs, is going to be dangling down below the torso, kind of out of a line slightly, kind of at a slightly downward angle. If the person does happen to have a stronger glutes, strong enough glutes to pull, they're going to try to pull on the legs to try to keep them up near the surface. But then what's actually going to happen is they're going to be tilting their pelvis to do it, and it's going to cause an excessive bending in the lumbar. So their legs are at the surface, but then they've got this big curve in the lower back while they're trying to do it. And so all of a sudden, now it's occurred to me, I see people making a noble attempt to try to put their feet, particularly when we're working on counterbalanced foot position, which is the preliminary step to the 2B kick, and or if we're working on the 2B kick, they're trying to get their feet to hold in that position. They can't quite hold that skate side foot up there in that counterbalanced position. It seems to drop. After they initially slide into position, it falls out of position, and then their legs are back parallel to each other, and then those legs drop a bit. Now all of a sudden I'm going, bingo, I see one of the likely culprits for this thing is that this person needs, we need to examine their hip mobility, and we need to examine the strength of the muscles in the back train, the glute muscles in particular, and the hamstring. So now I'm like, we need to bring out some assessments and some strength work from the running, from my land work with runners. Because swimmers, we need the same. Now I take it for granted because I'm a runner and I have strength in the back train, and I've worked on mobility for years in my hips. So I probably have room to do a little bit more mobility, strength work in my hips, and I am working on that. But I definitely have good strength in my back train. And it just occurred to me that I've got some swimmers who don't have that strength. They don't have activities on the land that would necessarily have them working on glute strength. And they don't have activities that are necessarily exposing the unusually limited range of motion they have in the hip joint. So I'm just bringing this up because for you, it might be interesting. It's very likely that you do have both one or both of those problems, limited range of motion in the hip and weak glute muscles, because this is a symptom of our modern sitting lifestyle, the sitting disease. And the more that we sit, the more desperately we need to counteract the negative effects of sitting, which is encouraging a less range of motion in the hip joint and encouraging weak glute muscles. Sitting is just not good for us. We're not made for sitting so much. And unfortunately, sitting for 4, 5, 6, 8 hours a day, 1 hour workout doesn't make up for that, doesn't compensate for that. We've got to do other things. We've got to add movement, more movement to our day. We've got to add more actions that require us to use the glute muscles, just in how we squat, how we crouch down to pick up things, looking for excuses to crouch down and pick up things and stand up in a correct way, just as if we were in a gym learning how to do squats correctly. We need to deconvenience our life so that we're using our body more, not less. Our lives have become too convenient. We're driving too many places. we're sitting too much of the time, you know. So standing desks, walking to places, getting out and doing more physical activities like gardening or chopping wood or picking up boxes or helping people do things and getting up and down off of the from the floor, you know, anything that we can do to just make normal life better at working these joints properly instead of just treating it like some special exercise we have to do. So anyways, that's I'm kind of going off in that direction, but I just wanted to bring up the relevance of the hips and the butt muscles, that these are important for us in swimming. And that's obviously I'm describing freestyle, but this would also be true for the other stroke styles, even particularly in backstroke as well. So that may give you something to think about and something to examine. And if you're curious or want to talk about it more, you're welcome to send me an email and I'd love to chat. All right.